Are you coming or going?
Both.
That's good. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. What? 10 more days? 10? 11 more days? 10 more days. Start gaining daylight. I think spring arrived this week, so I'm good. I think winter's done now. I've been all right out there. Although our garbage can has disappeared in the wind. We have no idea where it is. That is gone. It's probably at Jerry's house. I should check over by you. Is that yours? Yeah. Figure you stole my garbage. Romans chapter 8, two verses here this evening. As you can tell, we're really making good time through. I try and cover more verses, but every time I'm like, okay, I'm just going to have to cover two. But this will be help tonight. I'm looking forward to it. So please listen to this tonight. I believe it really can change you and your prayer life. Verse 26 says this, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I ask your blessing upon the message tonight. Lord, please control, Lord, what I say and how I say it. Please help me to teach, to preach your word effectively this evening. I pray it would be clear what we see, the truth from your word in these verses. Please help me to communicate with passion, Lord, that you would use it to draw us closer to you, to strengthen us, Lord. I pray especially for even myself that this would change how we pray. Lord, please work tonight, Lord, I pray and ask all this. Lord, I do pray if there is anyone here that truly is not converted, I pray for that conviction and that drawing that perhaps even this evening they would repent, place their faith in Christ. Lord, I pray and ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. All right, the last couple of weeks we've done a series. And when I first looked at these verses, I really almost covered them in one message. We had the groaning of creation and then our groanings. And now the last of the three we have here is the groaning of the Holy Spirit of God. Creation, of course, we looked at that and all that creation is waiting for that time when finally we are glorified, when the earth is changed, when that millennial reign comes and all that that entails, how even current creation, the universe is waiting for that time. And then our own groaning says that we're waiting for the redemption of our body. Our soul is already redeemed, but we're still in this human flesh waiting for that time of that redemption when we're done with this carnal flesh. But now we come to the last here of the three who are groaning, and this is the Holy Spirit of God, who is also looking forward to the time when we are finally perfected, when we are glorified, just like creation is in that place where we can glorify God as it was intended. But this groaning is even a little bit different than the others. This even deals with our present condition and has a very practical help for us. It's a demonstration of something much more, as we're going to see. Now, let me just say this. I'm not going to spend time on this because there's no need for it. But this text is often abused by the charismatic and the Pentecostal movement. You'll hear things like, "I have a prayer language. Do you have a prayer language?" And they're referencing, of course, the charismatic tongues. That certainly isn't biblical tongues. But this is one of their proof texts to try and demonstrate that there's a prayer language. This verse is in no way at all in any regard talking about the spiritual gift of tongues, or is it talking about the speaking the gibberish, which is all that's taking place in those movements. That's it. It has nothing to do with tongues. Actually, if you think about it, because how we're coming through the book of Romans, how we're coming through chapter 8, if you think about it, it should already be clear. It's not dealing with the gift of tongues. It's not what we're dealing with as we're coming through this. We're dealing with groanings, waiting for the times. We have the Holy Spirit now who is indwelling us, waiting for the time when we are finally perfected and the help that He provides us for our living right now in this sin-cursed earth. It is in no way talking about some gibberish tongues. And this message, again, it has a great practical help for us. I truly hope it encourages all of us, especially me, moves us all to a much more faithful prayer time with God. I think we all would agree we could all use help in our prayer life. I think it is perhaps the most important Christian discipline, and yet at the same time, it is perhaps the most neglected. This one fairly popular evangelical, he took a survey, Paul Miller. He'd given it at a seminar. He gave these stats out of the survey at a seminar. The one stat was shocking. He concluded that 90% of evangelicals in his survey did not have a meaningful daily prayer life. 90%. We're not talking you pray before your food. We're not talking you throw out a prayer when you're on your way to work. We're talking about a meaningful prayer life. 90% in his survey did not have one. Save people. I think we'll touch on why tonight with this message. I believe it's in our text even. I think, again, that is just staggering. So I'm hoping by the end of this message, there are several things that just come into my mind of what I would like to see this be able to accomplish. One, if you don't have one, getting you started now. Now, praying daily if it's not present. Number two, if you do have it, trying to strengthen it if it's weak. Thirdly, to help increase the measure of faith that you need in your prayer time. And fourthly, if it's staying right and it's strong, to help motivate you to keep it strong so that you don't grow weary. Just simply 2 points tonight is what we're going to look at to accomplish this. One, we're going to see we ought to pray. Number two, we're going to see the help in our prayers. Number one here, let's dive into this here. We see we ought to pray. Look at the first portion of chapter 20, verse 26 here. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. So let me just jump on this phrase as I'm going to break down these verses, as we ought. I think all of us would agree. No Christian would say, you know, prayer's just not that important. We really don't need it. All of us know how much we need it. All of us. But yet all of us struggle. We all know the need. We all know the capabilities that exist with prayer. We all know the potential that exists there. We know how important it is. Yet all of us struggle. Yet it's so important. You would think with realizing with how important prayer is that this would be the one that we're never missing. Forget breakfast. Forget sleep. Forget this. I am not missing this. But that's usually not the case, is it? Why is that? Well, we see within our text the problem is that we are weak. We have infirmities. The word infirmities here means weakness. We need to pray, of course, because we are weak. But there's another statement that goes with that is just as true. We need to pray, but we are weak. And that's oftentimes what leads our prayer life to fail. I think it'll be clear here in just a few minutes. Follow me. We need to pray because we are weak. We have infirmities, but we all fail in our prayer life because we are weak. It's like this pit we're in. And it's like we can't see, we recognize, and the very reason we need to pray is the very thing that's keeping us from praying. The answer to that problem is in this text. We have infirmities. We have weakness. We just don't have one or two. We have multitudes of weakness in our life. And it is these infirmities, this weakness, that keeps us from our prayer life and discourages us from praying. The truth is, and this is a major problem. This is a true statement. Listen to me. It'll make sense. Stay with me. We can't be effective in prayer life because of how weak our flesh is. You can't. That's why you're not faithful to it. Because in your own life, you lack the demonstration. You're not seeing the answers you want to see. You're not seeing it how you visualize it to see. And so, it falls off.
The faithfulness isn't there. Your mind is not placing the value on it because you're not seeing, if you will, the returns that you think you should. But you're failing to see it because you're looking at it only from your weakened condition. Usually when our faithfulness lacks off in our prayer life, we usually don't attribute it to our weakness, per se. Usually to something else. Listen to me. We truly fail to see all of our infirmities, how weak we actually are. Let's look at this verse as a demonstration of how weak we are when it comes to prayer. Know this, God answers prayer. Our problem is we don't know how to. What does our verse tell us? We don't even know what to pray for. You know, see, oh, I do. I have all these needs. I'm telling you, listen to me. It should be clear by the time I finish this message. You don't know what to pray for. You think you do, but you don't. It's a weakness. It's part of the flesh. You're in this flesh. Think of what we're dealing with. We're waiting for a glorified body. We're not there yet. Our body has not been redeemed. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We're so weak, we cannot comprehend what is best for us. Or we don't know, might be a better way to say that, what is best for us. This is because we're in this flesh. Our spiritual vision is so incredibly dim. Prayer is a spiritual matter. We cannot see the future. This is how weak we are when it comes to prayer. So think about this. We are asking God to do different things in our life for what we think that we need. But the Bible's telling us, listen, you don't even know how to pray for what you really need to be praying for. For the problem is, one, I can't see tomorrow. I don't know what's coming. That is a hindrance in my prayer life. I'll explain. Because I cannot even see the future, it hinders my ability to pray for what I need. The majority of the time, we can't even understand our present condition we're actually in. Our circumstances, our suffering can overwhelm us and blind us to the reality of what our need actually is. We can be so easily perplexed with life. You hear me say this all the time. In my opinion, the greatest Christian who ever lived was the Apostle Paul. Yet he was praying for something with a lack of understanding to the future as well as a lack of understanding of his present condition. Lord, remove this thorn in the flesh. Remove it. Remove it. Remove it. But his problem was he did not know the future, nor did he understand his present condition. He was praying in a manner for something he should not be praying for. But he didn't know it. Now, he had the advantage of, at the time, of the Lord coming to him and basically telling him, Paul, you don't understand your present condition, nor do you understand the future. I do. When he told him, Paul, you don't want that. You don't understand that thorn in the flesh. I've given you an abundance of revelation. That thorn of flesh is keeping you in a place so I can use you now and in the future. If that isn't there, I know you better than you. I know what you need. You will be lifted up with pride. You know what? Paul changed his prayer, didn't he? Leave it. Now, we don't have, and that's the only time, by the way, Paul got that. And that is a help to us in an example. But we have the exact same thing that Paul had taking place before he had knowledge of that when he prayed. We have the exact same thing Paul had, and that is the help of the Holy Spirit of God when we pray. We too have that. You see, the truth is, you do not know what's best for you. And our pride, and our arrogance, and our self-centeredness, and our lack of faith in a sovereign God, we think we know what's best. But you're wrong. You have to remember how incredibly weak you are. Filled with infirmities, weakness. You might think that job you're praying for will be perfect. But what you don't see, or don't you don't know, that the Lord does, is that if you got that job, that new boss you're going to get is going to be a major trial in your life. It's going to cause you great stress. The Lord knows that stress is going to lead to you harming your family. You're going to come home angry and mad. You're going to end up losing that job, spinning downward spiritually, questioning God. We don't know how to pray as we ought because our vision is so limited. We really only see such the tiniest aspect of this universe, and our perspective on life is skewed by our selfishness. I mean, if we had our way, we would never, ever pray for suffering or trials. But there are times when those are what is best for us. Paul was even confused there. I don't know whether to pray, Lord, take me home, or Lord, leave me here. Again, ironically, because we don't see how weak we really are, we don't pray as we should because we think this is a doing nothing. We have to understand in our weakness, in our present condition that's leading to this groaning of the very Holy Spirit of God, He sees our condition and our weakness that we want to try and do a try, but He knows what we're praying for is nowhere near what you need. And so He helps us. The God who loves us sees our weakness. He knows how it can hinder us. He knows how it keeps us effective, even in the simplest thing as prayer. But He doesn't leave us alone. He provides help. Which is point two. Look at this. Let's look at verse 26 and 27 together from the beginning. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Listen, if you'll get a hold of this second point, it'll help you stay so much faithful and fervent in your prayers. You see, God knows how weak we are. God's Spirit helpeth our infirmities. He makes the intercession for us. He knows the challenge we face in our current sinful condition that we are in. He knows we want to try and live for God in this world, but He knows all the challenges and obstacles that are present. So He provides help, and that is the Holy Spirit of God, the Comforter. And even specific in this verse, a very real direct ministry is affecting how we pray. See, so often, where the devil comes in is he tells you, listen, this is really doing no good. You got stuff to do. Get on with your life. So your prayer time basically consists of you get up and just, dear Lord, please bless today. Listen, Lord, dear Lord, I love you. Thank you. Help everybody. Thank you. Amen. Because you don't see the value in it. You're not understanding. No, get back to the fervency. You're going to see that's essential, as we're going to see in this text, for the Holy Spirit to work. He's not working in that. Guarantee it. You're going to see that in this text. He makes intercession. As it says, He is our help. He is a great help when we pray. He understands that we're limited and our inability to be effective in prayer. But the Holy Spirit comes on. So listen, I will directly help in this. The one who knows tomorrow, the one who knows exactly what you need, said, I will help you. The word intercession I love here. It has the idea of an advocate, a lawyer before a judge. I was at, I don't know if she's here right now, I was at a court case. My mind is going blank. For Erica at the Alaska Supreme Court last week. And Margaret was there. My wife was there. I'm listening to those lawyers talk and go over these statutes. If I had to represent myself, I would be lost. I would not be capable of that defense. I would not be. I would need a lawyer, an advocate before the judge. You know what? Before the Lord, because of my sinful condition and all that I don't know and all that I don't understand. You know, I have somebody that is standing there representing my request before God and saying, this is what he needs. And he has perfect understanding. We have an advocate. We have an intercessor when it comes to our prayer time. He is there on our behalf. He helps us. The word, it's an interesting word here. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth. That word is, that is a rich, rich word. It has the idea, and this is so important, of somebody coming on, seeing somebody who needs help, that's attempting something, but can't get it done. And the other person helps. Primarily, speaking of a load, let's say I was here, and I'm trying to, need something to happen. I'm trying to lift this up. And I'm trying, and Greg sees that I'm struggling with it, so Greg comes along and helps to carry that load. That's what the word means, the help here means. Somebody who comes along seeing that person can't do it, needs help. So the Holy Spirit, when you're faithful in your prayer time, know what he does? He sees your limitations and all your infirmities and your weakness. How your vision is skewed. But he sees you want to do what's right. And he comes along and says, Lord, I know exactly what he needs, Father. He helps us. Again, the word implies the Holy Spirit doesn't do everything while we sit back and do nothing. It is him responding to our obedience, to our faithfulness, to our focus on God, to our prayer time. Then as we pray, as we're obedient, the Holy Spirit comes and helps. Basically, he's saying, listen, I'll grab the other end. This is key. This is key. This is where we fail because we don't see the prayers answered as we think they're being answered. And so they dim off and they slack off. Yet no, you keep the fervency knowing. God's Spirit is right there making intercession. He is coming along. He is helping. He is there. We need to do our part. We need to pick up our side. Again, too often we look and think, well, there's no reason. I can't do this. I can't lift this. So you stop. But you don't realize if you stay faithful, God's Spirit comes along and helps. And his help is perfect. You think your prayer isn't working. So you stop. You are wrong. Just like Paul thought his request wasn't being answered. It was. Let's cover the groaning now. This is the second. So we see we have the help of the Holy Spirit. Next in our prayer time, we have this groaning of the Holy Spirit. Don't miss this. This is dealing with his care. He makes intercessions with groanings which cannot be uttered. This is showing how much he cares for us. He feels our weakness. He sees our weakness. He sees the weight of our suffering, the weight of our burdens, the frustration we have with our sin nature, how it is we have to try and come to God with this unredeemed body and all that's taking place. And he groans for us, this divine articulation before the Father. No words needed. I mean, he is God. This is not our groaning. This is not human groans. This is not some grunting or some weird speech. This is the Holy Spirit of God. It shows He hurts for us. There's an emotional level here. He shows our weak condition is so distorted that He groans before the throne on our behalf without uttering a single word. It is done. The knowledge is clear. Knowing He cares. Listen to me. There's a difference between someone praying for you who cares and someone who doesn't. Let me give a practical example. That happens almost practically every week in our church. Prayer chain comes out. Let's see. Pray for Joseph's uncle in Zimbabwe. He had a stroke. We all would pray. Is that correct? You'd get that and you would throw a prayer up. Amen. Good. Let's change it a little bit. Pray for Joseph. He had a stroke. Would you pray different? You would. You know him. You care. That would be different. The Holy Spirit cares. Enough that as this request is coming before God, it's just with a groaning that can't even be uttered. I mean, the knowledge is there. We're dealing with God. So there's not a need to be a transfer of words. The point is this, the emotional side, the distress He sees, the anguish He sees, the care He has for us, that it's a groaning that cannot be uttered. He loves us. He cares for us. And then thirdly, we see this, lastly of this second point, is verse 27. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So now we have the Holy Spirit of God here. One, the one who searches the hearts, by the way, as the Bible says, we can go to several verses for that right now. That, of course, is God Himself. He is the one who searches the hearts and knows it. So, of course, really, as I just mentioned, the relation between the third person of the Trinity and the Holy Spirit and God the Father, they know the need perfectly well. God searches the hearts. He knows the Spirit. It's the third person of the Trinity. So this is all coming to that point that He's driving that all that He asks will be in the perfect will of God with perfect wisdom for your life. Please understand that when you are praying, you're coming with great infirmities and weakness. You don't even understand your present condition. You don't know what's coming tomorrow. God does. He knows your heart. The Holy Spirit is there. And so in our weakness, if we want our life about God, we're coming to Him in faith that He will take our request and make it exactly what it should be. It'll be according to the will of God. You ask for that new job, but the Holy Spirit knows what's actually perfect for you. He knows tomorrow. He knows all about you. He knows if you're being faithful. He knows if you're trying to do what's right. So let's take that as an example. Somebody is coming and they're just fed up. Say, Lord, just I want a new job. Give me that other job. And sometimes that might be the will of God. I'm just giving you a scenario with how this works with God's Spirit, where you have to trust Him and His decision because of our weaknesses. We don't know better than Him. We don't. You ask for that new job, but the Holy Spirit, words aren't needed. This is just for the sake of our understanding. Comes and says, Lord, really, it's not what he needs. He's just stressed, frustrated. That's all. Lord, he doesn't know that next month you're going to have working with him that man who's about to lose his family and needs Christ. Lord, you've appointed him to give him the gospel. He doesn't see it. I see tomorrow. Lord, give him the strength he needs where he's at. Give him the wisdom he needs for where he's at. But listen to me. If we don't trust God with our prayer life, with what the Holy Spirit does with it, you're liable to lose that faithfulness and quit praying and begin to turn from God and lessen your walk. Trust Him with your prayer life. Because He has taken the one who knows tomorrow, the one who actually knows your present condition. And so the Spirit comes, no, give Him patience, give Him contentment. He can't see tomorrow. He doesn't know who's coming into work there. Or perhaps that husband, Lord, change my wife. She's horrible. Or Lord, change my husband. He's a disaster. When really the Holy Spirit's taking that, Lord, please, what they need to see is their own sin. Lord, please, help them to stay close so they can see their own iniquity. But I'm not seeing the change. I've been praying. Maybe look in the mirror. You see, God's Spirit comes, and in this promise we have right here. We come to Him in prayer, but we're so weak, so self-centered, we can't see the future. We don't understand our own present condition, and we're trying to pray about our life. And God says, you know what? If you'll be faithful, I will come along and help. And my help is perfect, because I know everything about you, and I know what's coming tomorrow. I know exactly what you need. We trust Him with it. And there's plenty of times we're going to pray exactly how God wants. But there's also going to be plenty of times when that's not true. You trust Him. Stay faith determined. You know what the Bible says? As it said there, the point is, we ought to pray. We need to be in prayer. Don't grow weary in that. Understand what's taking place as you come before God and understand your weakened condition and trust the Lord with it. Don't stop, because that word help there means when He comes along is when we're faithful in our prayer time, we're staying faithful to it and staying faithful to it, and He comes along and helps it. Listen, if you don't have it, get on your knees. Start tomorrow. Start tomorrow. Don't wait. I'll do it first of the year. Nonsense. You're not going to wait till the first of the year. It's not going to happen. Just an excuse. Tomorrow. Start it. Going before God in prayer. Starting off by doing that, giving that time of our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, by giving praise and glory and honor unto Him, thinking on His attributes, not your own needs, not what's going on with you, but simply praising God for who He is. Then following up with His will to be done, pray for thy kingdom come and thy will to be done. Then take time to pray for that. Lord, help me be submitted to your will. Whatever you want, Lord, help me to do just that. And then, Lord, forgive me of my sins. And don't just leave it there. Name them. Not in family devotions. Between you and God. Name them. And then into your requests. Some are easy to pray in God's will. I pray for all my children and their wives every day. By name. I start with Daniel and Sharon, Heather and Jordan, Rachel and Josiah, Bethany and Levi, and then my Levi in college. Lord, help their marriages stay right. Protect it. And then I know of different requests for each one that are important, and those come up every day. Start it tomorrow. Understand, it is doing something. It is working, even if you can't see it. Trust Him. Is life about God or is it not? Then trust Him with your life, with heads bowed and eyes closed.